Welcome everyone to another episode of Kiwi Talks. My guests today are stuntmen, mocap performers, and much more at Alpha 7, which has worked on games such as Horizon Forbidden West, Cyberpunk 2077, Witcher 3, and the upcoming Witcher 4. I'd like to welcome, but I'm going to try and not butcher their names, Michał Dalecki, Maciek Kwiatkowski, and Madeline Page. How are you doing?
Perfect. You nailed it.
So, just as an icebreaker here, I am keen to know your training regime and your diets.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, stay in shape. Because there's a lot involved with being a stuntman, right? And a mocap performer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is our bodies, our tools. So without it, we cannot do what we do. And staying in shape and staying sharp, keeping your skills sharp and your body fit is absolutely crucial. It will, you know, it first of all, it's how we do this amazing stuff that we do, but also the quality of it. So The more we train, the better quality there is and so on.
Yeah, and sometimes even motion capture is a good training itself, because when you do gameplay and we have to do crouches and stuff, it's like a full-on workout. So
exactly, 8-hour full-on workout.
Yeah.
Wow. So, because you need strength training, right, to pull off some of the stuff that you guys do.
Well, yeah. It's obviously a mixed training. We need to be
flexible
and skilled in so many fields, so it's martial arts, gymnastics, and just overall, you know, cross training. So each of us train every day on daily basis, and having also a shoot at the same day makes it a really, really long training, like a whole day training. Gameplay sessions are, just imagine when we record combat animations or locomotion animations. So as for locomotion, we need to record all the runs and crouches and turns and transitions, and we basically just run through the whole day.
Yeah, with every weapon and...
Yeah,
in and sometimes position. They're looking specific walk, so they're like testing. It's like, oh no, run a little bit differently now, and you're like doing it a million times. So yeah, it's pretty.
Sometimes we call it a factory. You know? It's more like working in a factory of movements, of animations, and you just go through 200 animations a day, which 50 of them might be different runs or sprints.
Wow. That sounds intense, really, really intense. Yeah,
it is. Okay. It is. Most of the people, I mean, a lot of stunt performers, of our colleagues who are not involved in motion capture, and for some reason they accidentally run into a gameplay session. There would be, you know, performing. Then they're like, wow, dude, this is what I never experienced that on a movie set, because doing live action, working on set has completely different dynamics. You know, on set, you basically wait most of the time. They call it the art of waiting. Movie making is a art of waiting, basically. So you wait, you get prepared, all the people involved get prepared, all the, you know, departments need to get ready with their stuff, and then we're ready for the take. And that takes, you know, sometimes a lot of time. And the take is around maybe 1 or 2 minutes, right? And then we wait again. But in motion capture, you don't have to wait for anyone. It's only you and the system, which being just turned on and off the recording, they turn on the recording, and there you go.
It's like a full-time job, you know?
Yeah, it's a decent job.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
but it's good because it's better than for example, the move, because there's no rain, there's no snowing, there's no cold.
True.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Absolutely.
It's a safe, warm environment. So
that's one of the biggest the coolest things about working in a mocap that you just stay in a nice warm studio. It's like a laboratory, I would say.
Yeah,
because I suppose if you're shooting on location and it's supposed to be a sunny day and it rains, then the day gets cancelled and that can increase the budget. So I suppose, yeah, from a financial standpoint, I suppose there are perks to that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes movie sets, they love to do like summer scenes when it's like fall or close to winter and it's freezing outside and everybody's are in dresses and pretend it's warm and like...
It's most of the time we work on summer stories in the winter time, and the other way around. It's always flipped.
So is the mocap actually the same with video games as it is with film, or is it?
You mean motion capture for movies and motion capture?
Motion capture for films and motion capture for video games. Is there similarities or is there differences in the way that it's done?
Well, I would. You can divide motion capture in let's say two branches. One is gameplay, so something specifically aimed for video games, and it's something completely different than anything else, right? Gameplay is just, as I said, it's a factory of small little animation beats that we all need, we need to perform. And the other branch is cutscenes and cinematic shoots. So those are either cutscenes, trailers, or just full-on animated movies, or just live-action movie scenes, and those are really close to regular live-action, pipeline and how it's done. Contrary to gameplay animations, which are, as I said, it's a different planet. So. Working on a video game and doing cutscene for a video game might be really similar to doing a scene for a live action movie.
Yeah, I would say it's more like a theater, like a little bit than a movie set, because actually we have a cameraman when we're doing
virtual camera.
When we have on a screen, we can see the real place that we're actually in
the location. We can see the characters. Everything is right now, thanks to modern tools like Unreal Engine.
You can see it in real time, so it's
can see the virtual reality in real time on screen with the camera motion and everything. So it really starts to resemble a regular movie set. Right.
Yeah, we just don't have the lighting.
Lighting is absolutely not important.
Yeah, well, you don't need it, right? Yeah.
So only for the reference cameras.
Yeah.
Right. And not to get into anything that breaks NDAs, but
yeah.
Magic, because you worked on the Witcher 3 and you're working on the Witcher 4, how much has...
Witcher 1 and Witcher 2.
Yeah, you did do Witcher 1 and Witcher 2. How much has the motion capture technology changed over the years? From when you first started to now?
Well, it's super interesting to see how it all worked when I started. And you can still find... a Witcher 1 making of online. It's somewhere on YouTube. It's not on the official channels, but it has been posted by some other people. And anyway, there's this behind the scenes of our very first shoot for The Witcher 1, and that was the beginning of 2006. It was in a studio in France. And yeah, we had like six cameras.
Six?
Yes, six cameras. There were way less markers. I don't even recall how many markers there were, but they were like huge, stiff balls on a couple points on the body. And the volume had only... So the volume is the scene that the actors, the performers can move in, and the motion is captured inside of the volume. So the volume was... a circle 4 meters in diameter. So it was super tiny. And with this setup, we had to record the whole locomotion system and the fighting system and so on. It was the process was rough. It was really, really rough. And also the data was rougher, and so many things. I don't want to get into details. I really encourage everyone to look up for this making of, so you can really see and compare it to what we are doing right now to other BTS from nowadays. It's a completely different planet, but also lots of things stayed the same. A lot of things stayed the same, like the basis, the overall method stays the same. Throughout 20 years that we are doing motion capture right now, we are still using the same technology. It's still optical systems, optical motion capture systems that give the best results. And AAA, not even AAA, even indie developers rather do it with optical system than any other.
So Maciek, obviously becoming Geralt in The Witcher was like a lifelong dream for you. I'm sure it was surreal at the time. Did you have any bit of imposter syndrome when you first ended up getting the role? Were you like, am I able to do what they require of me? Or were you just guns blazing?
Well, so I don't know if you know that, because I tell it on every occasion, because people tend to ask about this. So basically, before we went for the audition for The Witcher 1, me and my colleagues were all like hardcore Witcher fans since we were 13. So we read the books when we were like teenagers. It blew our minds. That made us go into fencing, historical fencing, martial arts. And thanks to martial arts, we also started learning stunts almost at the same time. So, and from that moment, I mean, at this time, when we were like 14, 15, we were like combining all the skills we were learning. Also, stage choreography, the stage fighting we learned, as for learning stunts and martial arts and sword fighting, we're all combining this to recreate the Witcher style in our free time. So when we went for the audition, when I was 20, 21, it was already at least 6 years that I have been figuring out the Witcher style and training it. So for me, it was like, just let's bring it on, you know? I was so happy that, and that was also the moment that it clicked during the audition, when they asked for something specifically from the Witcher world, like the move. And I did the first pirouette, and they were like, yeah, that's it. You know, this is the thing we're looking for, because they auditioned some other stunt groups who presented more traditional stage fighting style. Like a regular, you know, movie stage fighting with swords and sabers and rapiers, whatever. But no one did it as we did, because we were focused on The Witcher itself, and that's what they were looking for. So I was just super happy, super excited, and more than excited that it was, as you said, a bit surreal. It wasn't that surreal, because at that point we didn't know it will turn out that how it did, right? I mean, we're doing Witcher 1, we were, at the beginning, I was a little skeptical about the outcome, because Polish game dev wasn't really a thing back then, and I didn't really believe that Poland can develop just, you know, a great game, even a good game. I didn't think it would be even good, you know, and it turned out to be the best. It blows my mind from the perspective, you know. If I think of it, it's surreal, really.
So how's the industry in Poland now, these days?
Because
especially, I feel, like after The Witcher 3, I mean, that really, really put CD Projekt Red on the map and Poland on the map, I feel. So has the industry grown exponentially since then in Poland? How's everything gone in terms of the mocap performance studios? Are there more of them? Just the industry overall. How is it these days?
Well, thanks to first of all, thanks to this huge success of Witcher 3, all the people around, from even outside, especially from outside game dev, figured out that there's a lot of money to make. You know that games are the future, and you can make a huge international product that will sell. You know, great. So that's why a lot of money started to be pumped in the industry after Witcher 3. A lot of investors just saw a great chance in it. Also, CD Projekt itself started to, you know, it's a big company. It was
expanded very, very much.
It expanded and also created a lot of awesome specialists, you know. In Poland, we have so many great specialists that when they leave CDP, they just can work whatever they want. So some of them started leaving CDP with it's a natural process of just, you know, switching projects and companies. And some of them started to create their own companies. So having this huge experience from making the Witcher games, they're starting to do their own thing, like Rebel Wolves. I don't know if you heard of them.
Yeah, I've heard about them vaguely, but I don't know the specifics. Maybe you can give me an overview, because I'm sure people will be listening to this that won't know what that is.
Yeah, it's super interesting because Rebel Wolves was created by ex-CDP people who left after Witcher 3. Especially Konrad, who was the game director of Witcher 3, so he created his own company, bringing some other super skilled people from the Witcher 3. Right now they're working on the game called Blood of Dawnwalker. And people are super, super enthusiastic about this game. Some of the people I saw in the comments, the people look at it as for like a new Witcher, you know, like the Witcher made by the old team, you know.
Yeah,
the old guard.
It is super interesting. Super interesting to work, and we are working on Blood of Dawnwalker as well. So it's super interesting to be involved in both of those projects. I'll see how they will turn out, but it looks really, really great.
Yeah.
I would think that Poland would have an advantage in the fact that, so one of the biggest problems in America right now is because of the high salaries, the cost of development and things of that nature is skyrocketing. So I imagine Poland would have an advantage over that because you wouldn't have the same sort of overheads, I guess, in terms of the cost. So you can take advantage of that in terms of certain work opportunities, both with film and video games.
Yeah, especially for video games and motion capture, which can be done even remotely. During COVID, most of the studios figured out remote sessions, which are not the best solution. But it works.
It works. We have like directors on call that like on the session online that are directing on what we are supposed to do and stuff. So from different countries, from states, Canada.
Yeah, I even did the whole project for Korean studio. It can be done. So thanks to that, we can just, you know, produce things in Poland with way, way lower costs than in Western Europe or even more than US or Canada, but still deliver, you know, a high quality product and not involving the team even to travel to Poland.
Yeah, and we have one of the best studios in Europe. Platish Studio now is very advanced and very like top notch. So that's awesome too, and they're here in Warsaw, so where we are. So
yeah, well that works out great for you guys. And I suppose it creates a bit of a feedback loop as well, because you've got high amounts of talent, it attracts more talent. Therefore, it increases, obviously, the amount of work that you get as well. And good for training up new people, because I think when you guys started, there wasn't really an industry around in Poland. So,
as for, you mean game dev?
Yeah, yeah. But you said before, right, when you first did the Witcher, that wasn't really much of a game development industry.
Oh, yeah.
Motion capture, there was very limited work.
Well, no, there was no motion capture studio in Poland back in 2005. The first motion capture studio was set, I don't know, 2007, maybe 2008.
Because didn't you do the first Witcher in France? That's where you had to shoot the motion capture? Yeah.
The first session was in France, and then we were going to Metric Mines to Frankfurt for a couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah, we had to travel outside of Poland for some time. But then Witcher 2 was already shot in Poland in a pretty good studio.
Yeah, when he was shooting the Witcher 1, I was 10, so I didn't have the problem then of working motion capture.
I'm that old, yeah.
So you guys all worked on the cinematic trailer for The Witcher 4?
Yes.
Yeah. What was that experience like without breaking any NDAs here?
Well, we can easily talk about the trailer.
Already.
Yeah, the trailer got released, so we have a green light to talk about it and talk about the behind the scenes and everything. Yeah, well, for us it was just another day because we've done so many of different projects and different shoots. And we already also have been working with CDP for so many years. It was shot in Platige. Oh, he's out again. It was shot in Platige, so we knew all the people involved. We were really well prepared. Everyone who was involved was super professional, super skilled in the and experienced in the field as well. Our performer, Nila, who was performing Siri, she's just also a super experienced motion capture performer. We were ready with this funny Bauk rig. If you saw the making of.
Yeah, I saw some of the behind the scenes footage. It looks amazing.
Yeah. So we created this whole rig to represent Bauk and his piercing arms for the fighting scene, so that Nila, the performer, would have actual, you know, physical things to fight with. And it was like a huge rig, which was controlled by four performers. I mean, one performer was controlling the upper body, each of them was controlling one of the piercing arms, and me, I was connected to it by wires, and I was performing his body, the Bauk's body. So it was like a huge hybrid, human composite hybrid that we created physically on set, and there was an actual rig, a Bauk's rig, put on it in 3D. And it really worked. Like, it was amazing. I was blown away how well it worked.
How long does it take to shoot?
Well, we had...
I think you did it in 3 days.
3 days? 4 days? I don't remember. Yeah, because there was the main plot, which took...
There were a lot of pickups after that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of detail to fill in afterwards. Yeah. So all the people, the crowd reactions. There's this one bigger scene with a lot of people involved, a lot of characters involved. So you had to cover all the characters. So that takes a little bit more time. But there's... Yeah, we did first day as an acting day. So only the talkie scenes and talkie parts, and basically pure acting scenes. And then we had, I guess, 2 days for the action, which was also divided into some sequences. And then at least 1 or 2 days of just, as I said, pickups or...
That they wanted to like change or fix or do something differently.
Yep.
So
how long have you three all known each other? How did you all connect?
Well, I met Michał, I don't remember how many years ago. How long was it, Michał?
I think many years ago, but yeah, definitely Maciek started with the mock-up first. One time I just called him like, oh, maybe we'll do some, you know, fight scene on the swords. And he said, oh, okay, that's a good idea. And we have a meeting on training and we're recording. And then I think we have the similar feeling about the fight, about realize the fight scene, and he invited me for the first project, right?
To be honest, because I know Michał for many years, we met just being in the same field, because Michał was also a stunt performer. He was back then.
Even better now, right?
Yeah. So we just met doing similar things and just training in the same gym and so on. And I saw what Michał does. I saw his skill and the way he moves. And for a long time, I knew he's going to be great in motion capture.
Yeah, and I joined the team 4 years ago.
Yeah, and Maddie is with us for 4 years.
So, yeah.
Maddie is...
the fresh one here.
He's a fresh one, but I'm very, very glad that we met, because for so many years, I was looking for a female performer that would be able to do what I do, what we do. Because in stunts, overally, and in motion capture even more, the proportions of male to female are, you know, they're just mostly guys, and not many women are even interested in doing it. So the amount of performance is really limited, and motion capture is even it's in many terms, it's a really big step ahead of live action. I mean, in motion capture, in animation, you need to be really super precise, really precise with your body awareness, with your movement, with your just aesthetics of movement, and because you're really focused on it, and it's like in a movie, it's when you look at the frame. When you see action, there's so many things happening at the same time. So you, as a performer, you're not alone over there, right? So there's so many elements that create the experience. But in motion capture, it's like very often it's like you would be alone on the screen. You know, it's only your character. When you play a game, you can see your character in the middle of the screen just moving and doing stuff, and your attention is really focused on the character, and it really needs to be super precise. So from this limited amount of performers, only few performers are really able to be good motion capture performers.
And also you did not say about the acting, because that is super important too. Like, of course, the special skills, the, you know, the fights and movements, it's okay, but it's natural. But also the acting, it's connection, action and acting, right? So it's really hard to find some people who can do that's both things, because you have you can find a lot of actors, right? But you can find actors with the super skills, fight skills, for example, and something like that.
And other way around, stunt performers who are able to do acting, and not only classical, regular acting, I would say, but motion capture also involves a lot of things that even actors are not familiar with. So performing creatures, or, you know, zombies, and just things from depths of or bugs or things from really from depths of creator's imagination, which is boundless, you know.
It's really getting out of your comfort zone and being okay with it, like, you know, like full on getting into that character. And
not many people are you know, not many people have it. When I see a performer on stage, from the first moment I know if he's gonna be, or her, if they're gonna be a good motion capture performers, because you can see it in the attitude. If someone is ready to go full on with his zombie motions, with his zombie character, and just goes full on, you know, that's the guy, you know, or gal. If the person is a little bit shy, if he's too, you know,
doesn't have the confidence.
Yeah, doesn't have the confidence, and just doing stuff out of the box, you know, that out of the regular human stuff that we do, or just shout really loudly when you do the attacks. You know, motion capture needs more expression than live action.
Yeah, I think it's closer to like theater acting than to like movie acting, because in movie acting you do the eyes, you do the little gestures, and it's all, you know, readable in the camera. But in motion capture, you have to like actually do the things with your body. So it's you know, because the body is what they want, and the face too. But you know, it's all in the whole body, you know, performing, not just the you know.
Yeah, that's the way wider, as we say, wider. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a male can't really do motion capture for a female character and vice versa.
Oh yes,
right?
They
can.
Yeah,
they can.
Really?
Yeah. And the other way around.
But it's better when a female does a dude than a dude does a girl. A female.
Yeah, but we swap on so many occasions. Yeah. You know, the thing is, from the production. Yeah, it is really interesting. It is. It's at some point I thought because we did some, we tried to perform a woman, you know, male performers tried to perform some female characters, and it didn't really work out. But with some certain approach and certain tricks, you are able to do it. Not everything. Like, there are some things that are super hard to perform, like the walk, you know, the...
Yeah, females have a certain way they walk compared to males.
Exactly.
Elegance to the way they move.
Yeah, because first of all, they're built differently, right? They have different proportions of tissues. And that you can really perform it up to some point. Also, you know, different guys, like more skinny guy would be easier for him to perform a woman than, you know, a bulky guy like me or Michał. but I performed women on so many times. So as for interesting stuff that I did as a woman, I performed in Witcher 3. There is a cutscene when where young Ciri is training in Kaer Morhen. Yep. She is jumping on those poles, doing some. She's blindfolded and she's doing a sequence with a sword on those poles, and then she jumps off with a backflip. And that was me. I performed
what?
Young
wow.
Ciri. Yeah. Well, and the thing, the reason it happens is from the production point of view. From the so you just you hire, you have a bunch of things to record at the certain day, right? So let's say it's 95% male animations, but there's 5% of female animations. And for the production, it's way cheaper to involve only male performers or even one performer, and for him to try to perform a woman, and then they will deal with it in post-production, than to hire another performer and to play it for the whole day just to perform a couple animations.
Yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes... it's easier for girls to turn into guys, and like I did plenty of soldiers and stuff. So even in Cyberpunk, the background guys that you don't actually focus on, but you know, so that's easier because I can just stiff my body and like I'm a dude now and pretend that I'm a dude. And it, you know, but for a guy, because men usually exaggerate too much the female, like being like, and it looks like a drag yes. queen show a little bit. So it's like, it's hard for the guys.
Yeah.
Much more harder than for girls.
But it's doable.
That is doable. It depends what but you want. Sometimes you want the more like, if you like, I don't know, say you're a prostitute, it's easy to be more like this for a guy to pretend like to be a girlish girl than to walk like a regular girl. So yeah, it depends what they need. But everything is possible in motion capture. They can like... do everything from, you know, parts of bodies.
That's the thing. There's a lot an animator can do in the post-production, you know, in the post-process. A really skilled animator can, you know, can deal with an animation and make, you know, make it work, basically.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
That stuff is fascinating.
There is there's so many interesting things.
Yeah, but we can talk for hours about the whole.
And you know. Also, it's so hard sometimes to describe those things, you know, because some of them are kind of technical. But it's different than anything else,
yeah,
for sure.
Well, it's probably one of those things that's better to explain through visuals, just showing what you mean as opposed to using words. Because there's so much nuance to it, I guess, in terms of the movement and everything that you do.
Yeah, I think that the Avatar making of sold it the best because it was such a big movie and they used motion capture for most of it. And everybody like discovered, oh, they did it this way. And everybody like has the gray suits with the markers and visualize in their head when you say, oh, like in the Avatar. So like, oh, okay, so I get it now. So that helped a lot because before that, I don't think that motion capture was like a big thing.
When I tried to describe motion capture... to someone, I always referred to Gollum because that was the first pop culture character that was really done in a. It was the first.
If you like Lord of the Rings, because I did it, I don't like it. I wouldn't know that Gollum was made in motion capture.
Lord of the Rings. Okay. yeah, she's Team Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Wow.
yeah.
It's a small minority, I think.
yeah, well, different generation.
True.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. So, is there one particular character that you guys all found the most challenging? If you had to pick one character that you were doing motion capture for, that was the most challenging, and why?
I don't remember the particular character, but... all kinds of creatures are super challenging, you know, because the creators always want the creature to be, you know, it's always have to be something fresh, first of all. And not that easy to come up with something new nowadays, you know, in pop culture, the creatures are all in all the same. They're either zombies or, you know, undead or just some mutated, maybe aliens.
I think they're the physically challenging too. My favorite one that I was doing, and it was quite challenging, but it was the best, was the crazy nurse from Silent Hill 2. The one. And she was, I love that character, but she was, you know, with the bobby head. So after 3 days of shooting with her and next four to come, my neck was like killing me. And it was then, you know, so that was pretty challenging, but it was the like, sweet spot. I loved characters like her.
She nailed it from the beginning. The character was looking great. Yeah, but those crazy monster characters are the worst because you need to get like the further away from humanity. The further the better, right? So less human you are, the better. So your posture, your way of moving has to be creepy and just non-human. So staying in this non-human character for a long time is really challenging. And then you have to do the whole locomotion system. So yeah, you need to do all the walks and runs in every direction, being this
attacks, reactions, deaths, it's very exhausting, but it's very satisfying. So, and when they have like the avatar on the screen that you can see yourself as that, you know, creature, it's helpful and it's very cool. So I love them, but they're exhausting. How about you, Michael?
Well, I thought about the project I cannot talk about, but in this project I play like four roles maybe. So it was quite weird to play so many roles and change the characters. So that was a little bit, because usually when I play some characters, I try to be in characters all day long, for example. But when you have to change the characters, then you have to change also the personality, the way of movement, you know. So I think that was the worst, maybe. Not the worst, but it was some kind of, you know,
that's challenging,
right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but that's also the thing about mocap. On the day, you might do even dozens of different characters.
True.
Just doing a couple animations as a regular, you know, background community person. Then you do a main character. Yeah. Then you do an enemy. Then you do a creature, and then God knows what. And you're just jumping from one to another.
Back to Silent Hill 2. We did all the monsters there, so every few sets we had to change our, you know, whole everything. So like, idea of movement and
program, especially as we talked about the specific posture and way of
moving. And remember what's the, you know, the idle, so the posture that you have to start and end with, and you know, when you're changing characters, you have to actually remember in your body, was your hand this way, like, or was it that way, like, and you know, and go always back to it.
And also you need to be super precise, because doing gameplay animations, there is no time to, I mean, there's no space for it, for you to make a mistake. You need to be like laser sharp with doing the motion and then getting into an idle pose, for instance, because the animation takes, I don't know, 1 second. And in one second, you need to do the start, the middle and the end, and it all needs to stay in the character.
So what happens? So Matty, you mentioned that your neck was sore.
Yeah.
Doing the crazy nurse. So what happens when you have to perform the next day and you're in a lot of pain?
You just fight through it.
You just fight through it? Yeah. Painkillers?
Yeah, I didn't have to.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
or, you know,
your teeth and get on with it.
Have a sauna, have a massage, have a painkilling, you know, gel or something, and yeah, you're good to go.
Yeah, that's what you do. It's your work. You have to perform. You're there for it. So that's why they take stunt people to do gameplay, because actors could not do it physically. Like, you know, you really have to just do it, you know. You can't say, oh, my leg starts hurting, could we please just end now? No,
also,
you can't. It's like,
also for us, as I said, we work out every day, so for us to wake up sore, it's like
just normal. Tuesday, you know,
just a usual Tuesday.
So it'd have to be something that's truly really really bad in order for you to not work, right?
Yeah, I broke my bone, so then I couldn't.
Yeah. So how did Alpha 7 come about? How did the whole thing start? Because obviously, Magic, you were part of CD Projekt for quite a while, and then you ventured out to do your own thing.
Yeah, well,
what was the reason why?
We are freelancers, so we just work with so many companies. But the idea to create a company with a name and just, you know, to gather it all in one place came mostly because I wanted to be more someone more than a performer, And I wanted me and my team to be more than performers, not only actors for hire that, you know, just the game dev company calls you and they say, okay, there's the job, come to the studio and you have to do this and that. And you're just, you know, physically doing what they came out with. But at some point, I became, and we as well, the most experienced people in the room.
Yeah, Maciek is like the first one in Poland that was doing this stuff. So,
yeah,
like
so
20 years of
I've
experience.
I've been doing motion capture and video games for 20 years. And with each passing year, I started to meet more and more people who were in the industry only maybe, you know, 1, 2, maybe 5 years, maybe even 10 years, but still, they were less experienced than I was. So I just did, and I did almost 90 projects right now. So
90 projects?
Yeah, yeah, you can see it on the website. Yeah, it's been a lot of projects, and I went through this process from the beginning till the end so many times. I already know what are, you know, what things work, how to do things to not to make mistakes, you know, at some point. And I just know the easiest way to do things. And being treated as a performer, it doesn't work like that. You know, you're just being called to do someone's plan, which might not work. And for so many times I went on set and I saw the shooting list, or I saw the references or the ideas for the characters. And I was like, guys, I done it already like 5 times and it didn't work. We shouldn't go in this direction, you know. But sometimes it's even too late because that they didn't have any other thing prepared, or as for, you know, directing cut scenes or directing action scenes. I just wanted to be someone more than just a performer. We wanted to be to design action, to direct action, and also to design motion and characters. And the earlier in the process we get involved, it's just so beneficial for the process, you know. And that's makes why.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And the only way to do it was to create a company that would stay for all this what I said. And thanks to the website, I want to inform and just
help with making projects, you know, make it easier, and it's more efficient that way, because, you know, you don't spend time on sessions wasting the animations that we're making that don't turn out good anyways, because they're like doomed not to. And when you have some, you know, someone like Maciek that can tell you, okay, this won't work, this will be better, or you can do it that way, it's like more efficient and
it is,
and smarter, I guess.
And for no one in the industry, it's changed now. Me and my clients and the people I'm working with, they already see it in that way. So for a regular producer, it will never come to his mind to ask an actor for help in design, right? Because why would he?
Yeah.
And then I worked with so many great directors, so many animators, and I learned from them, their ways, their tricks, and I'm so happy to share it with my clients, the best way to do things, and that was the only way, you know. I knew I had to create this the company, also to, you know, it's a different thing when you are speaking as a company than as a just an actor.
As an individual, yeah.
Individually.
Yeah. Mm. So I have a few questions from my community. Maybe you can answer them. Maybe you cannot.
Let's see.
We'll see if you can. So the first question here is from Holos Mark. Interesting name. How could you get started in the motion capture industry? What kind of equipment and setup would you need to do a home project?
Well, as for us...
Is he asking as an animator or as a performer?
Yeah.
Performer.
Yeah. Well, you don't really
do it at home.
But I mean, there is a way, but it would require there's at least one company that I know. It's a
makes sense.
Yeah, well, there's a company gathering motion capture performers, but at some point they just bought those Xsens suits. Those are special suits for motion capture that don't require cameras and don't require a studio. It's just a bunch of sensors in the suit that, thanks to this technology, gyroscopes and accelerometers, it gathers data from your moving limbs and then creates animation. So you could just require the suit itself.
Yeah, but it's still, I don't think that they would like order a session from a performer at home.
No.
He should have been more specific. Yeah. But yeah.
It is doable. To get into motion capture, it's not that easy. It's a small group of people that are really, you know, first of all, you need to be experienced in motion capture. I mean, there are some courses, like there is this company Mocap Vaults. They do courses like motion capture intros, preparing performers or even non-performers to do motion capture, to get familiar with the technology, with the way of acting, and so on, so on. So those courses are a great way to get into it.
Yeah, I guess you have to be an actor in some way. If you want to be a stunt person in motion capture, then you have to be a stunt person.
Well, it helps. But, you know, without any experience, you can also get into motion capture.
Yeah, but I think they require you you have to do a self-tape and stuff if you're, you know, want to perform for a project. Like, it's like a little bit in the movie industry. You I've lost a word.
Agencies?
Yeah, agencies and castings.
Yeah, auditions.
Yeah, auditions, I couldn't remember that word, yeah. But, auditions.
Michael, do you have anything to add? You're just chilling in the corner there. So
well, I just listened to them, but what I can add is the same like self-tapes. Yes, you can record and the clients can, that guy's cool for that. You know, characters and it doesn't mean that it's they cancel it. You like, oh, it's not mean that you're bad.
You don't fit the character.
They say great.
Well, good answers. Okay, next question is from Spy Fox Guy. What was special about working with CD Projekt Red?
Everything is special working with them.
Oh, good answer. You'll be in their good books for saying that.
No, but seriously, it's every time we go there, it's like, Jesus, this is so epic. Every session is.
Yeah, for me, from the beginning, from The Witcher 1, and it was my first project, first motion capture project that I ever did. So it brought me into motion capture world.
Mine was first too, because I was doing the Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. That was my first day on motion capture, and I was so stressed that, oh my god, I never did this before. What if I suck? And Maciek was, no, you're going to be great. I'm like, oh, I don't
know. She had an ovation.
Yeah, and they were like clapping and everything. So I was like,
oh, wow.
After, because you had like someone was beating you, throwing you off the stairs, I guess.
Yeah, and we had like a combat sequence.
Yeah, there was a fight scene. And she, as I said, a good motion capture performer gives a whole bucket of everything, you know? Like a whole bucket of emotion and everything is like full on, and she did it, delivered, and everyone was like shocked. Whoa, that was something. I was just saying that CDP was special for me from the beginning, not only because that was my first company to work with, but I was a stunt performer back at the moment I started motion capture already, so I had live action and film experience already, so I could compare movie world to game dev. And game dev was just, and also especially CDP was a different planet. I mean, movie industry, especially in Poland, became less about passion, more about money for all the people involved as well. So you just create projects and you earn money by just from the budget, not by selling the product. So you don't care if it's gonna turn out great or not. But it was totally opposite for The Witcher and for the CDP, the guys from the beginning. When I met them, I was blown away by their work ethics.
It was a passion
The passion, the how they, you know.
And it still is. So it's amazing. Everybody's so into it, and the whole studio and the offices, they're so like in the vibe, and it's
well,
always
now they have to be.
There's a lot more pressure now, isn't there? Yeah
exactly. The expectations are, you know, skyrocketing. They're over the roof, so they have to be, but they are. They really are. It's a really
I think like everybody working there, no matter what department they're working in, they're like all with the same passion and excitement that they're there and they're doing something so awesome. So the whole building is like buzzing, you know, with this vibe that it's amazing, epic stuff. So,
well, they are leading the pack.
Yeah. Michael, you wanted to say something?
I want to say that because if someone is not so often in the CD Projekt, it can be excited, but the people who work there, they are like every day, they're doing every day. And if you came there, like, well, they're exciting every time. So that's much more powerful than, you know, the old people who work there, not only performer. So they're into it, like they said, actually. But they do every day, and you know, so that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Does Poland take a lot of pride in CD Projekt?
Oh, sure.
Like, yeah. Like, they nationally get behind
the game, right? That was Obama?
Yeah. When Obama visited Poland, the gift that he received from the government was The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
What? I didn't know that. Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that really happened. And the next year he was visiting Poland. During his speech, he mentioned what a great present that was. He didn't play it, but he loves the game and he loves the project. And he was, you know, that was the thing he was... The reason it happened is that this is the best product Poland ever did, you know?
Yeah.
The best international successful product that was ever produced by Poland. So
do you think so?
It is.
In this time frame.
It is.
Maybe not in the whole time frame of Poland.
It is.
We had Maria Kryskodowska that
but it's, I'm talking about
discovered an element.
I'm talking about the product.
Yeah.
Something that was created by the industry.
Okay. From the game dev
industry. Oh, yeah. It did a massive, massive thing for the industry. I think it fundamentally changed how fantasy games and open world games are approached. I mean, there are a lot of game devs in the United States that take influence from CD Projekt Red, just in terms of what they did with The Witcher 3. And like, even with Cyberpunk, I mean, the only other game that's really kind of like it is GTA, Grand Theft Auto, right?
So
And Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. And obviously, I'm sure they'll up their game with the next entry, whatever they do, and you guys will be rallying behind them, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's great to hear. So this is the final question. This is from Kenny445. This is going to be interesting because this is like the elephant in the room, I think.
All right.
We all see how big tech is trying to impose AI on all facets of creation. What are the benefits and drawbacks to implementing AI tools into your workflows, motion capture?
Yeah, that's super interesting right now.
Yeah,
that's a hot topic.
Yeah, we don't quite know where it's going to go, like in the final form. But in the form right now, it's going to for sure help us with in the form not to doing the not to do the whole like silly animations
the boring stuff
that
the
you know.
Monotonous stuff
because I've
always thought that AI would be good in terms of dealing with repetitive, monotonous tasks. But anytime you want it to do something specific, total failure.
Now it works specific
and also in a specific style. So all the style is you cannot achieve it. You can achieve anything creative with AI so far. Let's see in the future, but so far it's good to create the generic stuff. So the let's say the background or just I heard that Movella, there is this company, this AI system for animation, and it uses layers. So as far as I know, it works like you can record a move, a walk, and then record a specific way of one actor's moving, and you can transfer it into this walk. So let's say you record a regular person walk, but also you have a obese person style, and you can put the obese style on the existent
pre-recorded walk.
Pre-recorded walk and existent motions. So normally, I mean, it just expands the amount of animations you can get in the game
even we did some animations for the engine that they put into for the AI to, you know, to not to have to perform the same things for different mm-hmm. you know for different characters like that. Mostly I think they're gonna use it for NPCs for now, you know, unlike right. and stuff like that in the background.
That's easily done for NPC. Yeah,
I don't know how far it's going to go. And that's a little bit scary, but I hope I'm going to be old and retired when the motion, you know, when the AI will be as awesome that they will not need actors anymore. So
They say that for high-end creative work, it's AI won't do it for many, many years.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So the way I see it, AI right now helps to multiply, to fill the world more with animations. So because back in the day, because of the limited amount of data you could have in the game, that's why the characters feel more artificial. They have less detail in motion, right? They have less frames
in a loop,
or just every motion has only one variant. Let's say there's only one way how the character stops. It stops always in the same way, always with the same motion. So it's repetitive and it's artificial because of that. But thanks to AI,
for example, we can say like in Tekken, they were like always doing, you know, this.
Yeah.
Because that was the loop. So
limited amount of frames.
For visual,
exactly.
You know, so you understand.
And thanks to AI, as far as I know, you can create so many other possibilities, so many other variants of each motion, which normally no company would have resources and time to record.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be in the game. And right now, it's not like we have less work because of AI. We have tons of work, but with tons of our work, they can do even more animations.
Yeah, I think for the animators, it's mostly helpful because, you know, it's like
a shortcut. They've only got so much time, right? So anything that frees up their time to focus on something else, I suppose, is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they have monotonous tasks that they would not like to do.
Well, someone had to do it.
Yeah, well,
those people could do other tasks, basically. And there's, as I said, games are growing so fast. I mean, everyone wants the next game to bigger, you know, have bigger world, more characters, more animations, more scenes, and everything.
New ideas, but, ideas. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. And the people can only have 24 hours
in a day,
and there's only a limited amount of work they can do. And so many, you know, we heard so much about crunching and in game dev. So thanks to that, maybe it will be easier for everyone, you know, to deliver a good product.
Yeah, time will tell. I think you guys will all be safe, though. I don't think that AI is coming for any of your jobs. Plus, you guys have a very, very diverse skill set. You have a very diverse skill set. Like, I would think if you are a one-trick pony, or if you're only good at one thing and then AI came along and made that obsolete, then you'd be in trouble. But you guys can do heaps of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So... yeah, you're not just motion capture performers, you're stuntsmen as well, you know, and swordsmen, and you're obviously very athletic, so you guys will be fine.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Motion capture will fail, we're going to open like a Witcher school here on like...
Well, cool, guys. I'm going to wrap up there. Okay. Thanks so much for sparing me your evenings. I know it's late, so I will let you go. But is there anything you want to plug, anything you want to market before I let you depart? Anything you want to promote?
Promote? Obviously,
Alpha
7.
Anything coming out?
Yeah. Yeah, check out the website, check out the social media. We are posting so many interesting stuff, so many BTSs, and we're just doing so many cool projects right now. Some of them I cannot mention yet, but they're coming, hopefully, beginning of next year, and it's going to be like big IPs.
Yeah, and
big IPs.
Follow us on Instagram, because we throw a lot of stuff on our personal Instagrams that are from, you know, making offs and projects we do, so it's cool stuff, and if the people are interested, that'll be the easiest way to see what we're doing.
If you're a gamer or just involved in game dev industry, just go for it.
Cool. I'll make sure I link everything in the descriptions as well.
Lovely.
And I look forward to seeing some of the behind the scenes stuff. I might actually have to reach out to you guys later on once The Witcher 4 is out, so I can see what you guys did.
That's also one of our missions, to gather as much behind the scenes footage that we can, because it's so hard to get to see how those things are really done. You see only the final product, and people are not aware how much magic and how much people is behind of the animation, right? They think this all done in a computer, right? Yeah. It's all generated. Most of the people have no idea there are real people behind it, behind the process.
Even
right?
Me 5 years ago, I had no idea about motion capture, so it's like...
Yeah. And it's so interesting and so different than anything else. That's why we are trying to push as much of this knowledge, of this awareness, and to show the people how magical it is.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time, and I can still see that there's that passion there. You haven't lost it.
Yeah.
So
that's a lifelong
passion.
It's great
to see.
For all of us. We love it so much. I mean, just what not to love? Just imagine that you're going to work and
having the greatest time of your life.
And what you do is actually you're acting as a space marine with a sniper rifle or a laser rifle, and you're fighting with orcs, and everything is exploding, and you're bigger than life, a character in a bigger than life story.
Mm. And finally,
you're getting paid for that.
Yeah.
And it's living the dream.
It's funny, because in Polish industry, like movie industry, you cannot play a hero and or superpower guy, you know, but in the game industry that you can, and you can develop your new skills and new so that's awesome. That is awesome.
Everything in live action, it's mostly down to earth.
Yeah, if you're in Hollywood and you're like a Marvel star, then of course you do awesome stuff, but you know, how many people have the option to be like a superhero and in the motion capture, that's mainly what you do. You're like a superhero, you're
epic
character. You're having super weapons, you're flying, doing somersaults and stuff. It's like
not only
be cool. Just always be coolest version of yourself.
I was just going to say, like, one of the cool things about the game industry is, unlike, say, the film industry, where everything seems to be centered on Hollywood, right? You really have to be in LA, I suppose, to really get the full experience with that.
Exactly.
But with the gaming industry, it's very much global, right? In terms of, you've got people in Japan, you've got people in the States, obviously Poland, which is playing a big part as well. So there's more opportunities, I suppose, from a global perspective.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, for sure. For sure. Mm.
Does New Zealand have any, like, game dev
We do. Yeah, we do. We do. There's a couple of indie ones. Not real, real big ones. But, I mean, our visual effects industry, obviously, Weta is based here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Weta is a studio?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. They're the ones that did Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, really? That's so exciting.
Rings a bell?
Yeah, so they've got a lot of stuff
something in New Zealand. If anybody wants us there, are so.
You could probably shoot a Witcher film, a fantasy film here. Like fantasy films, New Zealand's got very good landscapes for it. I know they're doing the Legend of Zelda films being shot here, and obviously another Lord of the Rings film is being shot here. Because you've got like all these different landscapes within a small two contained island, and not a big population as well, so you don't have to worry about people entering the shot and all that stuff. But so
I almost came to New Zealand, but then COVID came and they canceled the flight. I was like,
it happens. if you're ever in this neck of the woods, let me know. I can give you a tour. I'll take some time away and I can give you a tour and everything. But that is the show, everyone. Thank you so much, guys, for sparing me your evening. I feel like I've learned so much from this conversation. So I very much appreciate it. All the best for the future. I'm sure everything to do with Alpha 7 will continue to grow. I feel the industry in Poland is in a better shape than it's ever been. And it's very, very inspiring. And I suppose your aura is inspiring as well. The fact that you guys are so passionate about this stuff. So thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having us.
No problem.
And if you're ever in Poland, let us know.
Exactly.
Show you around.
Yeah. Funnily enough, my wife just got New Zealand citizenship. So she's able to get a New Zealand passport now, which makes it easier for us to travel. So, and she keeps talking about, I want to go to Europe. I want to go to Europe. I'm like, okay, so... We'll definitely make Poland one of the areas we'll stop off in. So
You should. Poland is
amazing.
One of the best places in Europe right now. Seriously,
100%. I agree. Yeah. I agree. If I was to ever move to another country and especially in Europe, Poland would definitely be up there.
Definitely.
Yeah. You guys are doing things right, I feel.
I guess so. It's weird that it turned out this way. I don't know how.
Cool. Yeah. All right. That is the show, everyone. Make sure you share, like, and subscribe. And until next time, stay safe.